But we're talking about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And you do find her in the chapter on faith, Hebrews chapter 11, and sort of hidden in there, but it's in verse 23 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, Moses didn't have faith when he was born. The faith is directly attributed to the parents of Moses and how they took a very clear step of faith to protect Moses, and we're going to look at that. But I think it's very interesting that this dear lady is recorded here as a woman of faith in the Hall of Faith, the great Hebrews 11 chapter. So I just wanted to relate that as we started. But the emphasis here of how this is approached is the faith of a mother. The faith of a mother, and any of us that are working with folks in their development. Now, Israel was in a very difficult time. For some period of time after Joseph, they were favored as they lived there in Goshen, a very nice part of Egypt. But then, when a different dynasty came in, they were seen as a threat to the Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. And they were increasingly brought into slavery and into a very difficult position. But the more that the Egyptians persecuted them, the more they flourished. That's what happens when Satan endeavors to destroy, God blesses. You look at different countries where people are persecuted. Oftentimes Christianity spreads in an even greater way. Well, Israel was becoming a very mighty nation even during the difficulties that they were experiencing. And so the Pharaoh then ordered that all the baby boys be thrown into the Nile. Now, there were two aspects. The main one was he wanted to get rid of the male population of the Jews. That would end them being a threat. And then the women would just intermarry with the Egyptians. The other aspect is the river was their god. Everything to Egypt was the Nile River. And so that was sort of like an offering also to their gods, which was a direct affront to the worship of Jehovah God. But motivated by her faith in the Lord, Jochebed took a remarkable step of faith and hid Moses. Now that was very dangerous because their lives would have been taken if that baby had been found. You know, in those kind of regimes, there is no room for disobedience. Absolute control was in the hand of the Pharaoh, the king, and so therefore, anything that went against his commandment would be dealt with harshly. And so she was taking her life into her hands to save her son. Well, you say a mother wants to save their child. Yeah, it's one thing about trying to do the best for your child. It's another thing about putting the rest of your family in jeopardy. See, Aaron had already been born. And Moses was the second child. And, of course, her husband, each one of them were very much affected by this. But they agreed, the parents, and that's what Hebrews 11 shows us, is that they determined that this was not what God wanted. And I believe that it wasn't just in the fact that they should not kill their child. Secondly, I believe that there was a sense of destiny on the part of Jochebed regarding Moses, that God had something for him. And so she was willing. She literally, when she was hiding her child, can you imagine hiding a baby that cries? You talk about a nerve-wracking situation. It's bad enough when they cry and you're with other people, but you know, your life is at stake. She was going to trust in the Lord. And she believed Ecclesiastes 11, when you cast your bread upon waters, that you you will find it. And she literally was going to learn that. That was the principle of faith, where you alludes to an agricultural practice of throwing seed upon water of soggy ground and then waiting for it to produce a harvest. And she believed that God was going to do something with this step of faith that she had here. And she had to take another step of faith. You can't hide a child forever. They become mobile, and you have you got the other children. So she put him, as you know, in that little ark of bulrushes, put him in by the reeds of the riverbank. Now, honestly, how was that going to save her son? You think about it. Day after day, was that going to work? No. There was some kind of a sense that God was going to deliver. She had come to the end of herself, but she didn't cave in. Now, she's a bit shrewd here. Well, I did put him in the Nile. Okay. You could come at this from different angles, you know. She obviously wasn't a dummy. She could say, well, you know, I followed, sort of. But you know the story. And her daughter Miriam, who also was older, was the oldest actually, was there. And she saw what had happened when Pharaoh's daughter came by. Now, there's different theories as to who this daughter was. But if we have the dynasties correct, with Amenhotep II being the Pharaoh of the Exodus, then this would have been 80 years before, would have been Hatshepsut, the powerful princess of Egypt. In fact, there on the Nile River is an absolutely unbelievable tomb. And if you're going up the Nile River, you can actually see hers as one of the most magnificent, because she ruled for a while and had great power in Egypt. And so God brought the most powerful woman along, and she saw the baby, she heard the baby, and she had compassion, which is just a miracle. That just didn't happen. And she wanted to keep the baby for herself. Evidently, she did not have a child. And of course, very important in that day to have a child and to be able to have an heir to the throne. And so God worked it through Miriam's quick-mindedness to have her preserved by having an Israeli nursemaid, his mother. it all worked out. And so, again, very courageously, Jochebed nursed and prepared her son. Now, that easily could have been found out. So her life was still on the line. But she knew God was in this. This was a miracle. And so she was willing to spend herself during the few years that she had it. Now, let me just say that this shows very clearly that the early years of a child's life are extremely important. And there are different statistics on how much of a child, I mean, you know, what all occurs, but 50% of a child's character and personality development take place by age 3. And 75% by age 5. You think of they've learned to talk, they've learned to reason, they've learned to do all kinds of physical things, and so the handling, the teaching, the affection, the love, the discipline of a mother, the work with a child, just all that occurs. There's much that happens in those first 5 years. And so she understood that, and God allowed her to do that. Now let's just look at Jochebed for a little bit here. No matter what phase in your life you are, we all still affect people, and we all affect little ones. One of the things that I try to keep in mind myself, obviously I have a lot of little ones that are related to me around here, so I don't have any problem finding little ones. But I consider all the little ones of our church vitally important. And I do encourage the ladies of the church to be very aware of the children. I don't see them as a nuisance, but as developing servants of God. And I'm telling you, kindness, talking to them, looking them in the eye, whatever God would lead you to do, those are very important things. I try when I go down the hallway to stop and talk to the little ones, you know, and I hear some of the most unusual things when I do. They're great. They know no inhibitions, you know, but anyway, it's fun, and just they need to know that you see them as little people, real people. So I just want to encourage all of us on that. Her name was a name compounded with Jah or Jehovah, and so her name Jochebed meant Jehovah is her glory, or Jehovah is our glory. It could be translated either way, and so. She definitely had a walk with the Lord, and she took that little boy. Now, you got to understand, she had him for several years, but she knew. And can you imagine this as a mother? Sort of like what happened to Hannah with Samuel, and both of them poured their lives in those little children. But then at some point when they're at a very tender age, you'd have to give up your child? That'd be pretty heartrending. She knew that all the way along. She would only have him for a short period of time. Could she go to the Pharaoh's palace and say, I'm the mother and I want to see my son? No way, because Hatshepsut was going to be his mother. And of course, she was not seen as his mother. And so when she said goodbye to him, she was saying goodbye to him. Now, I'm sure he came back and worked out visits and so forth. But the point is that we have our children for only a period of time. Many, many, most of you ladies know what that's like. You have them and then they're gone. She only had them for a few years. We had them for 18, 22 years. That's not long in the course of a life. And then they're gone. And so we learn here the importance of what we put into them when they are young. And so we need to encourage all the young women about the about that important matter. All right. All of us as parents train up the children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And so when she delivered Moses to the princess, and he began to be in the palace, he kept the faith. He kept his identity. Now that's amazing. He was being groomed, and I want you to get this, he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh, because evidently there was no heir. And so Moses, even given that name, was going to be the next Pharaoh. Tradition tells us, and of course we only know it as tradition, but it's pretty much the Jewish lines followed, that he became very powerful. He was trained in all of the art of war. He had all of the different sciences and all the literature. He learned it all. He was a very well-trained man. He became a general in the army. In fact, some tradition says that he had some exploits that were pretty amazing. So by the time he was 40 years of age, he was an established leader and probably at that point fairly close to being the next Pharaoh. Now, I'm not going to go into his whole history, but the point I want to make is when he showed his loyalty to Israel over the throne, where did that come from? A mother named Jochebed. Her prayer and her work. In fact, we have that wonderful passage there, verse 24, after the one that I read there in Hebrews 11. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, the Messiah, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Is that a pretty amazing testimony or not? Now, we're talking about when he was 40. Now, we know him after he was 80 and been on the far side of the wilderness. He's still a lot more to learn. And then we know the next 40 years as he was the leader of Israel. But this was when he was 40 that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. At 40, he was willing to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to be the king and have the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of the coming Messiah. Think of that. He knew that more than the treasures in Egypt. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh. And if anybody knew it, now think about that. You know, we know those verses pretty well, but they're astounding. They're astounding. He was only with his mother till he was 4 or 5. His mother did not have the chance to interact with him after that. He was brought up in a pagan court. He was given unparalleled luxuries and power. He had a future that was assured. He became a mighty man. He was well-trained, well-esteemed. He had everything humanly a person could want, and he was trained in all of the pagan worship of Egypt. And yet, he identified with the people of God. He gave it all up. Now, he made some mistakes. He murdered that Egyptian, and that got him in trouble. But he knew he was called of God to be a deliverer. He took it to his own hands first, and God had some more training for him. And the time was not quite yet for the nation of Israel to come out of Egypt. But to me, that's an astounding reality, that though just a few years of a godly mother. Now, let me just say this, folks. Any one of us here are servants of the Lord to be an impact to other people. Your life over a matter of months and years can have this kind of impact on someone. There's something very special about 0 to 5 years of age. I understand that. I said that earlier. But we need to realize that life on life, when we are living the life of Christ, people's lives go a different direction if we truly are discipling them, caring about them, loving them, teaching them, doing everything we can to direct them the right way. Do not at all minimize the potential of what God can do through you in the life of another person. And this summer, I'm going to really be emphasizing the fact that God has something for every one of us. God wants us all to have a direct impact on other people. So let me just give some practical application here that is given by our author. When it comes to mothers, to have a true impact, as Deuteronomy 6 talks about, you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Parents need to love God. And by the way, no matter how old your child is, when you are a parent that loves God and is totally devoted to Him, that's powerful. It's powerful. And then you need to teach the Word of God. You find that also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, to teach the words diligently unto the children. And you talk about them on the way, wherever you are. The Word of God should just be very much involved in the children. So this was amazing what this mother did in a very short period of time. Now, parenting today, discipleship today takes courage. to live according to the truth and to do what you need to do. To handle your children in a biblical way when you have a secular culture that tells you to do it a different way. You heard homeschooling parents in Massachusetts have been taken into custody for simply refusing a vaccine for their child. You have all kinds of issues with that. I'm not going to try to make that into it. But the point I'm saying is, in this culture in which being biblical can be definitely looked down upon, are we willing to be biblical with our children, and are we willing to disciple biblically? I just had a couple of folks that I'm helping their disciplers disciple, and they come out of the typical background of our culture. And yesterday in my teaching of them, I was straightforward about the truth, and I took a risk. But if I don't give the truth to them, I'm not going to help them. They are not going to be able to make faith choices. They're not going to be able to do what God wants them to do. And so it takes courage. And, it takes care. I mean, we have to be willing to give of ourselves. We have to have confidence by faith that God will work. And it takes communication and where we give of ourselves. Think about how much time in our relationships we don't talk. You know, when we have an opportunity for a relationship, there ought to be heartfelt communication. Now, this mother did not only produce Moses, who else did she produce? Aaron. And what did Aaron do? Yeah. A couple of good things, not so good, but, he was the mouthpiece for Moses, and he was the first high priest of the nation of Israel. Picture of what Christ did. Miriam was a gifted poetess and leader there. She also had her moments, but certainly a leader. The mother did a good job with her, and then Moses, of course, led the people. Can you imagine being responsible for 2 to 3 million people in the wilderness? I just can't imagine. But God enabled him to do that. And so we are talking about Jochebed. You think about it. She lived 3,500 years ago. That's a long time. But we are honoring her this morning, a woman that the people of Israel didn't know anything about. She wasn't significant. But she took her responsibility seriously, and she prayed, and she was a woman of faith. She believed in God. She obviously believed in the Messiah coming because she taught it to her son. She was serious about however God was dealing with her. She followed her husband, and we're talking about her today because she truly believed God. Be encouraged, folks. You know, we live in a culture that we don't think about generations past us. We just don't. We're a very here and now culture. But we need to get back to realizing we need to leave behind a legacy in the lives of other people. And what about 100 years from now if Christ doesn't come? What difference will our life have made? Do you realize if you invest in just a few people over the next several years and they go on for God, that 100 years from now you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people that you affected? And truly, I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly. We despise the day of small things, and we should not. Every life is important. Every life that connects, and she just had this son that she worked with, but she affected millions of people. And Moses was the kind of leader that he ought to be, and had the kind of faith that he ought to have had. And we're here today, even because of this simple woman who did what God told her to do and didn't despise the opportunity that she had. And I think that's just a remarkable truth. So just want to encourage all of us to realize that God has very important things for us. And so our author here has just some commandments for mothers. So we got a few here that have the children. Begin early. Number two, embrace motherhood as an occupation, not as a trial. It is a trial. Commandment number three, live a life of integrity. And commandment number four, partner with God, because it's God that is going to make the difference. And so God blessed her. She had the faith of, she was of the Levitical line, by the way. The line of Levi was Moses and Aaron, and her faith. So so many things here that we could give, but the main thing I wanted to get across is no one's insignificant. Touch somebody else's life. If you're a mother with children, that's where you pour your life into, but still you want to touch other people's lives. But right now, who are you touching? Who's different because of you? Who's being affected by you right now? That's a pretty important question. That's a pretty basic question when it comes to the purpose for our lives. You know, we get discouraged when we're not investing in others. But when we're investing in others and we see our life as very important in the purpose of God, then all of a sudden situations that we face it would be discouraging. We don't allow them to discourage us because we have a purpose that we've got to stay strong. You know, when you had children in your home, boy, you kept pretty strong because you had to because of your kids. And when you are investing yourself in the lives of others, it helps you stay strong in your life and not allow the circumstances to get a hold of you. So just think about that. And you say, well, I'm really not affecting too many people right now. Well, you can start this week. There's lots of people that need you. Lots of people that need you. And do you think God can lead you to people? Absolutely. That's why we have small groups. That's why we do what we do, so that you can be connected and your life can make a difference. So let you talk about that. That's an important matter. And so Jochebed, somebody we don't oftentimes talk about. And next week, we're going to talk about Miriam. So a couple of characters here that provide some very important lessons for us. So, all right, go ahead and have your discussion times there.